Jesus, greeting you at a time that I really should be asleep, but I am not. It's rough out there sometimes for God's people. We do get knocked around, we do get beat up a little bit here and there, we do take our knocks and our hits and our licks as such, but you know, the nature of us, the nature of the people that we are, is the righteous fall 7 times but they get back up again, whereas with the wicked one knockdown is enough to lay them low for the rest of their lives. They can't get back up. And there's something in us as God's people where we get up again. We don't stay down. We may go down for a little bit, but we don't stay down. We're not the kind that stay down. God puts something in your spirit that causes you to get back up again, causes you to keep going, causes you to fight, to live, to breathe, to be what He made you to be. You know, He calls you, compels you to go forward into that life that He destined you to have while you're here. You know, there's something that grates at the inside of every one of us. Every child of God, there's something that inside of us just gnaws at us, that it's like, okay, I know there's more than this. I know that I am meant to be more than this. I know that that I'm destined for more than what I'm experiencing and what I'm knowing. You know, that is a God-given thing. You know, God has done that. He's put that in you for a reason and a purpose. Because He doesn't want you to be content and satisfied and complacent and soft like the world. He wants you to have metal in your backbone. He wants you to have steel in the frame of who you are so that you can stand. And at the same time, to be able to be flexible and fluid and move with Him wherever it is that He goes. So wherever it is that the voice of the Lamb leads, His sheep follow. You know, though we be leaders in so many senses, we follow Him. We follow the voice of the Lamb. We follow the voice of the Spirit of God that leads and guides us into all truth. You know, I used to... this was part of my own progression, I guess. But I guess there was a point in time where I used to be somewhat apologetic for the fact of what it was that God had put in me. Because, you know, I was young, and how could somebody that is young have authority and speak the Word of God when you have people that are 50 and 60 and who knows how old, and this is their job as such, that they maybe have assumed into themselves, I found later on in life. But how could you, who do you think you are? And I don't apologize for that anymore. I don't apologize for God's choice of me. You don't apologize for God's choice of you. God chose you from the foundation of the world. He put His Spirit in you. He called you out, and you responded to that call. There's no apology necessary for being what it is that God made you to be, and the unique way that He has made you. See, He made you and He made I very, we're individuals. We're made unique unto Him. And to apologize for that is to, in a small way, even to I don't want to say the word discredit, because that, but almost, but it is almost that, you know, to the work that he's done in you, the work that he wants to do in you. It's to say that there is a mistake. There is no mistake with us. There is no mistake with us. There is no error. God made you and God made me the way that he wanted us to be. He made us. And what he wants us to do is he wants us to turn over our entire being to him so that he can flow through that being 100%, and that his spirit would give life to every aspect of who we are, so that what it is that comes forward is the uniqueness of who you are, filled and flowing and overflowing and flowing through with the Spirit of God. And would to God that you would do that. Would to God that I would maintain that. Would to God that we would be that. Because that is what he wants and he desires of his true church in the earth. And I have to say the word true church, because the bulk of what I've seen is the false church. The bulk of what I've seen is the satanic Babylonian system that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof and seeks to lord and to rule over the lives of other people, seeks to get them to come in and to conform and to be fashioned not into the image and likeness of Christ, but into the image and likeness of that denomination, to that system, to that religious set of beliefs, and to set them apart unto their own selves so that they can merchandise you, so that they can profit off of you, so that they can make use of your labor, your talents, your abilities to build their own little fiefdom, and to do that in the name of God. Oh, wow. Judgment Day is going to be an eye-opener. But for those that have eyes to see, you already see it. You already see it for what it is. It's been made known and laid bare. And yeah, you know, the thing is too, is they will try. The second that you start getting free, they will try to bring you back. Oh my gosh, they will try. They will offer you anything and everything. Whatever is your fancy. Power, position, pleasure, you know, it's all there. And also the religious system, the guilt, the shame, the lack of belonging. You know the thing about religion? No, there's a bunch of things about religion. It's not like I'm like the thing. Now, there's a bunch of things where I've got an issue with these guys. But, I mean, I forgive them. They're wrong, but I forgive them. But, no, it's just, you know, that thing, like, you, okay, so you go in, and you go through the whole thing, and you go up to the front, and you raise your hand, and you say the mantra that they tell you to, or whatever. They go through the whole thing, then they take you in the back for the timeshare meeting. It's kind of like that, same format. And when they're done with you, but you know the thing is, in those systems, you're never really forgiven. You're never really, yeah, God loves you, but you still know what you did. And they now know what you did. So you're never really quite forgiven, quite free. You're never really good enough. So you've got to work at it. You better be at the Sunday meeting. You better be at the Wednesday meeting. You better be at the Friday night prayer service. You better be at the... You know what the mantra of the Pentecostal movement is? Come to the meeting. That is the motto. You might as well brand it. Come to the meeting. Doesn't matter what the meeting is, just come. Why? Because you got to be there. You better be there. Don't go anywhere else. They wouldn't want to possibly lose track of you. not know what you're up to. And you know the funniest thing too with the, with those guys too is like if you stop showing up, you don't show up for 2 weeks. You get that, oh, where were you, brother? Oh, we missed you at the Friday meeting, brother. My brother, wait, brother. I didn't see you at the table growing up, but anyways. You know, at the close of that whole thing, you know, it's like, okay, you don't show up for 3 weeks, now you're a backslider, you're a heathen. You can't go off into a mountain for 40 days without them thinking that you've completely walked away from God. Why? Because their definition of walking with God is coming to the meetings. Their definition of walking with God is doing your religious service. Their definition of walking with God is you put something in the bag when it goes by. You know, and even with that, oh my gosh, I mean, how many of these guys would, for the sake of being seen to put something in the bag, would put something in? It's ridiculous. Where scripture says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. You better let somebody know what you're doing in those systems, because everything they do is for to be seen by men, to be seen by other people, to be noticed, to become that rock star on now the smaller stage of the world, because they couldn't make it in the world at large. So now they've created the world, brought it into what they call the quote-unquote church, which it's not, made themselves small little platforms, and now they do that in Jesus' name, which it's not. Jesus calls people out. Jesus calls people to be free. Jesus calls people to walk with Him, to follow Him. Jesus calls people to be one with His Spirit, where there is no separation between you and Him. Jesus calls you and I to be so fused, to be consummated with His Spirit, where there's no separation between you and Him, He and I, that we are in I Am, John 17, Jesus' prayer, that we would be one in Him. That is His prayer. So, you know, this word is affirming that you are called to be one in Him. No separation. So that when people see you, they see Him. And when people would see God, they would see you, because you would be one in Him. That there would be no separation. That you would be a reflection of His presence and His glory. No separation between us and the Father. That's, I see what God is doing with those that are following Him in this track at this time. Is He is doing that with them. He is bringing them unto Himself. Now, you know what religion does? Is religion will keep you separate from God. They will keep God as something over there. You're this dirty little sinner with all your problems and all your hang-ups and all your baggage, and you are never going to be quite good enough. But thank God you're saved because you've said the sinner's prayer. Right? Yeah, okay. Heard that one before. And then you get all the pop psychologist Dale Carnegie ripoffs, like the Joyce Meyers of the world, or the Joel Osteens, or the... they're just a type of, they're not anything specific about, well, I mean, there's a few specifics about those ones, but they're just a type of what is wrong. Because people look at that and they think that there's something to do with God and all of that, and it's not. You know, what's offered to people through that kind of stuff is here's a form of godliness, denies the power thereof, and it caters to those itching ears that people have that tell them what they want to hear. So, for example, a woman with self-esteem issues, a woman with weight issues, a woman with, you know, just relationship, covering a small spectrum here. But you're gonna, when you fish with a net that wide, you're gonna catch something. And so what they do is they set up their whole market analysis for what are the issues that women are dealing with, and then they prepare a set of material with, and they stamp Jesus on it so that they can, you know, they can sell it to that target audience because they're Christians, right? And they go after the issues that are contemporary for the day that will be what it is that people are supposedly struggling with. And, you know, and somebody like Joyce, who makes fun of herself so that others, so that she'll, like, poke at herself a little bit. And then the rest of these women are like, ha-ha, very funny, ha, and look at, and then they jump on it. Because now they feel a little bit better. They've gotten something that sort of tickled their brain. Thank you for that nice 30 minutes once a week. Just enough to keep your mind occupied and to think that you've actually done something. And yeah, meanwhile, your soul and your spirit are screaming, but you're just too busy trying to be something in the world. Too busy. Too wrapped up in your own agenda. And you missed it. You missed the voice of God. Because you fell for something that was close. Close but no cigar. The voice of a hireling. You know, they all talk about partnerships. Oh, with our partners. You're not a partner of these people. That is not a partner. You're somebody they merchandise. You're somebody that they exploit. You're somebody that they use. They use you. They use the images of the people that they prop up. They use all of this stuff. I wish that you had a chance to sit inside some of their management meetings of these quote-unquote mega ministries and hear the way that they talk. I've been around some. Oh, wow, someday maybe I'll dig up more of my history. But let's just say I've been around some, enough, in multiple parts of the globe. Look. Run. Run from that stuff. You know, go out into the wilderness if you got to. Follow Christ. He'll speak to you. He'll talk to you. He loves you. He doesn't want you to fall for that stuff. That's there. You know what that stuff is there for? It is there for those that do not truly want the truth. Because scriptures talk about, because they refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to a powerful delusion that they believe the lie and so be damned. God gives people a powerful delusion when they just don't want Him. They want something close, but they want a Jesus that they can control, a Jesus that they call the shots with, a Jesus that isn't Lord, isn't Master. He's their buddy, he's their friend, he's their homeboy, he's their, you know, yes, he is my friend, but he's my Master first. He's my Lord first. I serve Him first. And out of that, then, you know, comes the rest of it on his terms. To assume a casual relationship with your king is, you know, is a bit assuming, I guess. Bad English there, but you get what I mean. It's assuming, you know, to look, he's Lord. He's the shepherd, and that means that what he says goes. See, with a friend, you know, a friend is by and large, they're you talk with a friend a certain way, you know, and they're not going to, you know, a friend is going to look out for you in a certain way. They want the best for your life. You know, but also at the same time, too, they're not running your life. Whereas, when someone is your Lord and you're their servant, what they say, you do. You fall into line, and you fall into line quickly. That is a much healthier way to relate to our King. That is a much healthier way to realize that you live. The kingdom of God is a monarchy. It's not a democracy. It is not a debate with your friend. God, can I do this? Why can't I do this? Why? You know, no. That's you do yourself a disservice to go down that line. Yes, God invites you to come before his throne room. He invites you to pour out his heart, your heart before him. And when you're done and you hear his voice, you hear his verdict that comes from the king, go with it. Now he desires to be close to his people. He desires to live in you. For you to live in him, and to in him live and move and have your being. But in that process, realize the way that you must relate to him. Yes, of course, he is our friend, but he is Lord. Lord of all. And Lord over all authority on heaven and on earth has been given unto him. And as our King, approach him, you know, with that understanding. He is our King, he is our Master, he is our Sovereign, he is the one over all. And for us, look, don't let your life be a debate with God. Don't let your life be a ongoing dialogue with him. All you want to know is, what is he saying? And to be able to hear that. And once you hear it, go with it. Because you are the one that benefits when you go with it. You are the one that prospers. You are the one that gets to live the abundant life when you follow the voice of the Spirit of God and what he speaks to you. Period. If you get into a debate, what you think he knows what he's doing. You know, I mean, with the Abraham situation, when, you know, Abraham got into a thing with God, and he was talking to him, like, if there be 50 in the city, would you not destroy it? If there's 40, or 45, if there's 40, if there's 30, 20, 10. There wasn't 10. And that was the point. That there was nothing left there. And with And without, yeah, you can hear that. You can hear the dogs in the background. The great security. They will tear an intruder apart, as they have many other things that have accidentally come into these yards. But with the Abraham thing, the point, there wasn't 10. There wasn't... See, look, if the righteous are moved out of the way, if there is no righteous, the play's over. There's nothing... if there's just the wicked here, the whole thing gets burned. So, case in point, Sodom and Gomorrah. And, you know, God sometimes allows for those discussions because he already knows what he wants to do, but in that process, you discover something about yourself. You get a revelation of who he is. You are allowed to experience something more. So, yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, it's a blessing. You know, it is a blessing to walk with him. It is a blessing to know him. It is a blessing to experience the abundant life. But it comes on his terms. And this is the thing I try to explain to my friends that have a heart to hear and are kind of sometimes, you know, wavering a little bit. Look, the abundant life comes on his terms, not yours. It comes when you and I fall into line with what it is that he said. You can't be off doing your own thing. You have to be in step with the Spirit of God. If you're in step with the Spirit of God, he makes it flow. If you're out of step and out of position, you're just that. You're out of step and out of position. You're not in a place where you can receive what it is that he wants to do in and through you. And that's your choice. But you know, there's different. A buddy of mine told me one time, there's two kinds of suffering. He's like, you can, like, okay, if you suffer for, there's godly suffering and there's suffering for your own stupidity and for following the world. And if you suffer for righteousness, if you suffer for following Christ, it is short in that it doesn't last for that long, and there is an eternal benefit to it, an eternal lasting benefit to it, for suffering as a result of following Christ and doing his will. And on the reverse side, if you suffer for following the world, if you suffer for going your own way, that kind of suffering is long-lasting and has zero benefit whatsoever. So you suffer and for a very long time with no benefit at all for it. You just suffer. So anyways, just some closing thoughts, but... hey, I just want to let you guys know, I love you guys, I really do, and I do pray, Lord, I just pray for my brothers and my sisters right now. I pray, Lord, that you'd strengthen them in this time. I pray, Father, that you'd strengthen them with the decisions they have to make, the choices that they have to make in the lives, Lord, that they have. Lord, they desire you, they want to serve you, Lord. I just pray that you'd strengthen them in those paths that you have them on, Lord, that you'd strengthen them in the path and the way and in your truth, Lord God. Bless them, Father, I pray, with peace this day, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you guys. Love you. Talk to you soon. All right, bye.